More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, brace for impact. Are you worried about what's coming? Fearful of the future? Let us help you reclaim your peace and confidence. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, brace for impact. Are you worried about what's coming? Are you fearful of the future? Let us help you reclaim your peace and confidence. The number is 877-573-7825.
So we're asking you today, are you worried about something bad happening to you or the people you love? Maybe you're anxious about a health issue or the choices that someone you care about is making. Maybe you're worried about a problem that you don't know how to handle. Or you're concerned that things won't work out the way you hoped. If you're tired of bracing for impact, let us help you reconnect with courage, confidence, and hope in the Lord. Today on More to Life, give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And that goes for you and the people you care about. If they are the people that are worried about the future and you're not sure how to support them or kind of help them get to a better place with all that, we are here for that too. However, that kind of fear of the future, that worry, that anxiety that we all tend to have about what's coming around the corner and how to handle it well, we are here to help you deal with that and support the people you love in dealing with that more effectively. 877-573-7825.
Well, I think it's important to bring up, you know, the other people who are worried or anxious in your life. Even if it's the person you're living with, whether that's your spouse or your parent or your child, no matter how old they are, we can have a different way of worrying than that person we're sharing our home or our life with.
So,
I think the two of us, all right, I was, you know, kind of thrown into worrying very early in my life because of some traumatic circumstances. But I worry by, like, planning. I've gotten through this now because of what we teach, but trying to plan for every eventuality 1,000 years ahead, I will be ready. But I get nervous. I vibrate on a very high level, if you would. My body does. Where you are like, I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to figure out this. We even call it in the family, you know, you're in Rubik's Cube mode. Yeah. I'm going to figure out this puzzle. I'm going to figure out my next steps. I'm going to get it done. We're both concerned probably about the same things at a particular time.
Sure.
But we handle it differently. And sometimes when two people are handling a concern differently, that adds to the anxiety. What if they miss something? That adds to the kind of intensity of feeling, because maybe you start to feel like you're not agreeing with that person or you can't help that person. So there are elements of we've got our own fears and anxieties, and then what the other person is going through, and then what it's doing to our relationship. So we keep digging down a little farther. But we all need grace in the midst of all that, and we need to figure out how to help ourselves, help the other person and not let it destroy our relationships.
So if you are tired of bracing for impact and worrying about the future and being concerned about those problems coming around the corner that you're not sure how to handle or not even sure what to predict is going to happen.
Right.
Or you're trying to help somebody who is in that place. We are here for you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. We're really talking about the virtue of hope. That's really what, because that's the antidote for this kind of anxiety about the future, this sort of bracing for impact. We'll talk more about what hope really means and what it doesn't mean, because there's actually a lot of confusion about it.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because that is so true. And before the show today, I was talking to our guest, who will be on just a little bit later in the show, Rachel Watkins, and she was saying that her husband just kind of is okay with kind of telling himself to expect the worst, because then he's never disappointed. It's like, okay, I know that then he can be surprised by anything that goes well and just celebrate it.
I mean, that's a way to do it.
But that's not the kind of virtue of hope that we're talking about. So we'll be unpacking what that means.
Well, and in fact, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And it's, perfectly reasonable to ask, how could some theology possibly help me deal with my worries about the future? But St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a couple of really big questions. Basically, he said, what can Catholicism teach the world about thriving, about really flourishing as a human person, and having the kind of healthy, holy relationships that we all long for? And he wanted to do that because he wanted to show the world that our relationships and the way we live as Catholics really bear witness to the power of God's love and grace in the world. So his answer to those questions became what we now call the theology of the body.
And it reminds us that in the beginning, God intended us to live in a world of order and peace and joy and abundance.
I like that world.
I like that world.
I want that world.
We all want to be in that world all the time. But unfortunately, that was all lost in the fall. And ever since, the very first seconds after sin entered the world, God began working to make the world orderly, peaceful, joyful, and abundant once again. That's his plan, and it's our destiny. So when we're staring down an uncertain future, and everything in us wants to brace for the worst, our job as Christians is to actually anchor ourselves in hope.
Yes, but we also need to be clear about what hope actually is, right? Because for the Christian, hope doesn't just mean telling ourselves, everything's going to magically be okay. I don't have to think about it. Because sometimes it's not okay. I mean, I realize that's probably a shocking thing to hear, but sometimes it's not okay.
Yeah, and if you've been like kind of screaming at the radio for the first few minutes of this show, it's not news to you.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is some things don't work out the way we wanted them to or planned them to. But real hope is bigger than that. Hope doesn't say everything's just going to be all right. Hope says, through God's grace, I have the power to do something to make whatever happens better. And I trust in the Lord who has a plan and wants to teach me how to cooperate with that plan.
Well, exactly. So hope isn't passively standing around telling ourselves it'll all work out somehow. That's just wishful thinking. Real hope rolls up its sleeves. It starts by trusting that God intends to use us to bring good out of every situation, if we'll let him.
Mm-hmm.
And then asking him, Lord, how should I cooperate with your plan for making whatever comes by helping me respond in ways that glorify you, help me be my best, and lovingly challenge the people around me to be their best as well.
So the next time fear about the future creeps in, try this. First, remind yourself that God has a plan to make this better. Second, ask him to teach you your part in it. And third, do the next good thing that he puts in front of you. The more we can do that, the more we're really exercising true hope. And we're not just saying, well, I can hope that this specific thing will happen or that specific thing will happen. Instead, we're able to say, I can hope in God's grace to help me respond to whatever happens in ways that glorify him, help me be my best self, and challenge the people around me to be their best selves too.
And it gives us those marching orders. It says, this is what you can do. You can give it to God. You can ask for what you should do to be your best self, help other people be their best selves. And what's the next small step that I can take? Which is very empowering. It's very connecting to the power of God as well. And it's very different from standing around and just doing the wishful thinking. Because wishful thinking deteriorates into worry very quickly because we don't feel a sense of that empowerment. We don't feel like there's something we should be doing. We're just hoping for the best. And that makes us feel very vulnerable. So the kind of hope we're talking about today can help you and the people you love overcome that fear and anxiety. But let's talk about how to put it into practice in your life, in your situation today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Okay, we're going to take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, and we bring those situations to you where we are worried about the future, where we are bracing for impact, concerned about that problem coming around the corner, that issue that we don't know how to respond to, or those times when we're trying to help someone we care about who tends to get caught up in worrying about the future as well. Give us the grace to know how to stay in the moment, to hope not in a specific outcome, but to place our hope in you and your ability to give us the grace to respond well to whatever happens and to use it to be our best selves, to challenge the people around us to be their best selves, and to use our gifts to make a positive difference in that situation so that regardless of what comes, we can use it to build your kingdom and bear witness to the love and grace and power of your love and grace and power in our lives. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking with you today about bracing for impact. So what are you struggling with in your life, and what challenges are you facing? What are you worried about coming down the road? Let us help you approach those situations gracefully and with confidence and courage. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mike, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Canada.
Mike, welcome to the show. What's your question for us?
Oh, I have a couple questions, if you're able to take them.
Sure, what's up?
My first question is, my brother-in-law had a stroke last fall, and it made me concerned about my own potential to have a stroke. So that's causing me some fear right now.
So what have you done about that, Mike?
Well, I'm trying to alter my diet.
I mean, have you gone to the doctor?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
Well, I'm not seeing him till November.
Okay.
Okay. And you're not able to see a doctor any earlier? Is it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So go on. So you have the doctor's appointment in November for a yeah. checkup on this. All right. So go on.
And I'm also struggling with insomnia at this time, which is a risk factor for stroke.
And did the insomnia start before or after your brother-in-law's stroke?
Oh, it started much before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And do you have any idea what that's about?
No, I don't.
Okay. So a couple of things. I mean, you know, the first thing you need to keep in mind here is making sure that we're addressing the actual problem. Because a lot of times, you know, we'll worry about something. And that's why I asked you if you went to the doctor, because, you know, a lot of times we'll think, oh, well, what if this happens or what if that happens? Well, the, the first thing that we need to do is attend to the actual concern, you know, and take appropriate, responsible steps to address, you know, if there is a medical condition, you know, you get a good good physical evaluation, and then you're able to see, well, what am I dealing with here? And so rather than just kind of running around and adjusting things on our own or just being concerned about it. So you've taken those steps to make a doctor's appointment. I realize in Canada it takes a little longer to get into somebody. That's why you're having to wait until November. But I'd like you to actually step back to and recognize that sometimes with these more... seemingly obvious concerns, like, you know, there's actually a symbolic thing behind this too, because you weren't worried about this before, right? And there aren't any new symptoms that you're having that are causing you to feel this way. Again, it's good to take responsibility and go to your doctor and check it out. And we understand
your concern about the insomnia being a contributing factor, but there are also lots of others that could be part of somebody having a stroke. So it's not the one thing that's going to determine that.
Insomnia existed before you were concerned about this, right, too. So it says to me that there's a larger anxiety issue going on here. And a lot of times, whenever we're worried, we have health anxiety, it's really about feeling out of control in other areas of our life. So by all means, check out the actual physical pieces of this. I'm glad you have the doctor's appointment. But I'd also like you to step back and ask yourself what this health anxiety symbolizes to you. You know, if you know, the worry about the stroke, again, it's often a symbol for, you know, I'm worried about being out of control. I'm worried that there are certain things that I wish I had done or would do in my life that if I suffered some medical event that it would prevent me from doing. That there are things in my life or relationships that need to be addressed that I'm not. And we put that, instead of looking at those things and saying, what can I do about those things? What is God calling me to do about those things? We just sort of say, well, there's nothing I can do about that stuff, so I'm going to
focus on this thing that I think I can focus on. So I can work on eating healthier, getting more exercise, taking those walks, trying to bring down my stress level. But the other things that I'm worried about seem too obtuse to know what to do with, so I just hyper-focus on one particular possibility.
Yeah, which is the difference between anxiety and a concern. And I talk about this in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. So if you were saying, you know what, my brother had a stroke, I'm concerned, I should go get it checked out. You would have a plan, you would make the doctor's appointment, and you'd be fine then. You'd say, well, I don't have any other symptoms, I don't have any immediate thing to worry about, and I'm taking responsible steps to deal with this, so now I've addressed the concern goes away. Where anxiety comes in is where it's not just about the concern, it's about all the other stuff that I'm not addressing that get loaded onto the concern. Right. So I knew I felt a lot of control over here and I wasn't sure how to handle these problems over there. And then all of a sudden my brother has this stroke.
It's his brother-in-law, too. So I want to make that clear because it's not a biological relationship.
And so this suddenly happens. So now all of a sudden that pig piles on top of the anxiety that was already there. And now instead of just a concern that I'm going to take reasonable steps to address, I'm going to obsess about it. And the obsessing about it usually means, especially in the presence of something I've made the doctor's appointment, I should be okay now. The obsessing about it usually means there's other stuff that's piling on to this particular superficial concern that I need to address.
So that's what we need to talk about, how you begin to address this.
Well, yeah, I would really encourage you, Mike, to step back and say, you know, what are those things that I've been letting go? What are those things that I don't know how to handle? Because that's really what the anxiety and the insomnia are pointing to. And every night before you go to bed, I'd like you to actually get a notebook.
Yes,
and I want you to write out
exactly the same thing.
What are those specific concerns that the day brought up, and what's one small thing that you could do to begin to address that? And if you don't know, bring it to God in prayer every night. Okay, Lord, here are the things that are on my heart. Here are the things that I'm worrying about. Help me to see what your plan is and what it is that you would like me to do about it. Now, resist the temptation to just say, "Well, God wants me to calm down about it." Right? He does, but more importantly, he wants you to do something about it. He wants you to be proactive about it. So what's one positive, grace-filled step that you could take to address some of those concerns that you've written down? Make out some kind of a plan for either, you know, the next day gathering more information or taking some proactive step or having a conversation or doing whatever it is that you need to do to address that thing. But there's a lot of research that really shows that taking some time to think, to anticipate concerns of the next day and write out possible solutions, even if we don't end up following through with them, helps us sleep better because it allows our thinking brain to say, there's a plan. I don't have to worry because there's a plan. Now, if you find that this anxiety continues to bother you, and the simple steps like writing things out, or you're not able to identify those larger concerns, all of those would indicate the need for some professional help. And if you'd like more personal assistance walking through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I would say start here. Recognize that the health anxiety isn't just about the health. It's pointing to bigger issues in your life that you feel out of control about, or regrets that you need to deal with, or wounds that need to be healed. Spend some time each evening doing that inventory, thinking about a plan, bringing it to God in prayer. If it persists, seek additional professional help. We'd all talk about this and more in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can check that out as well. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Also responding to your emails, questions at more2liferadio.com. Today's show, Brace for Impact. As we talk about that fear of the future, that worry about what's coming down the road. When More to Life continues after the break, we'll be taking more of your questions, plus joined by Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. The big family got lots to worry about. We're going to talk about how she deals with that and more when More to Life continues after this.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show titled Brace for Impact, as we talk about the tendency for us to worry about the future. How do we reclaim that sense of hope, courage, and confidence to be able to face whatever comes gracefully? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. And with a big family, there's always tons to worry about. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Yes, a lot to worry about.
So when you get that 3 o'clock in the morning gnawing feeling and you start worrying, what have you trained yourself to do to kind of move back and calm down and move on?
There is a God, and I am not him. That's the most important thing we need to remember, is that God is eternal. He is the past, he is the present now with us, holding our hand, and he is the future. He knows what he is about. That's from Cardinal John Henry Newman. Look that up. He knows what he is about. We are now. When I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or have a day like yesterday, in my own house, I say, what can I do now? Right now. I can always say a quick prayer, whether it's Jesus, I trust you, take care of everything, or God, I'm so frightened right now with this news I've received. Tell him honestly exactly how I feel. I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm anxious, I'm scared. And then I can breathe in his grace. Say, Lord, you've got my hand, you are eternal, and you will show me the way. And taking that pause brings such peace to you that then you can make a conscious decision about what is next.
I think that's so important. I love how you're saying, you know, we're in the now. God takes care of, you know, he took care of yesterday, he's taking care of now, he will take care of our future. But as his human children, we only have the present where his grace is.
Well, and the other thing I like about what you were saying, Rachel, is that, you know, we have a tendency when we try to give something to God, we assume that we shouldn't feel anything about it anymore. It's like, okay, well, I've given it to God, so now I shouldn't be worried about it.
I should just wait and see what happens.
But what you're saying is, yes, we give it to God, but then the next step is we ask him what he wants us to do about it. Well, how can we use this moment to respond well to what's directly in front of us? Because that's how we ultimately find the big answer, instead of just sort of sitting around waiting for the answer to occur and then acting.
Exactly. We can always take one step and we want to say, Lord, I want to make this step towards you, towards your plan, towards what you have in store for myself or my family. And too often we can sit there and wring our hands and say, I don't know what to do. You can always pray, and we don't recognize the power that comes from. I mentioned Cardinal John Henry Newman earlier. He has a marvelous meditation on, he knows what he is about. In my sadness, he will use it. In my injury, in my illness, he will use it because God knows what he is about. So if you want to do that, go find that prayer and keep that close to you. You'll find a lot of confidence and a lot of strength in knowing that God is eternal.
Great resource. And when we don't know what to do, just asking, okay, Lord, how can I respond to this in a way that would help me be more of my best self? Glorify you, or challenge the people around me to be their best selves too. For learning more about Rachel's good work, go to beholdpublications.com and check out the Little Flowers Girls Club. We're taking your calls when we come back, 877-573-7825. Stick around.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
How does God act when a person moves closer to him? St. Ignatius of Loyola writes in the second of his 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, and it is proper to the good spirit to give courage and strength, consolations, tears, inspirations, and quiet, easing and taking away all obstacles, so that the person may go forward in doing good. God gives courage and strength to help a person continue to rise from good to better. God also gives consolations and tears. Consolation is a happy, uplifting movement of the heart that assists us in our service to the Lord. Tears reflect the working of God's grace within our hearts. God also gives inspirations that lead to spiritual clarity. He gives a quiet peace within the heart and an easing and taking away of all obstacles. So, as St. Ignatius says, that the person may go forward in doing good.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
What is the proper name for the third person of the Blessed Trinity? The Catholic Catechism tells us that the proper name is the Holy Spirit, a name the Church received from the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The term spirit means breath, air, wind, but when joined with the word holy, clearly designates the third person of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus, in promising to send the Holy Spirit, calls him the Paraclete, which means he who is called to one side. Another translation is the Consoler. Jesus also referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. St. Paul used many titles: Spirit of the Promise, Spirit of Adoption, Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of God. St. Peter called him the Spirit of Glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Have you ever caught yourself expecting the worst from someone who hasn't actually given you a reason to? Maybe you brace for criticism or the rejection or the disappointment before anything's even happened. If that's you, somewhere along the way, an old hurt quietly became your model for what to expect from people, and now you carry it into rooms it doesn't belong in. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I help people see that an unhealed hurt doesn't just sit in the past. It becomes the blueprint we use to build new relationships, often without realizing it. The way out isn't staying on guard. It's letting God heal the original wound so it stops writing the script. Try this. When you feel yourself bracing for an offense, even before the other person says or does anything hurtful, take a moment to pray. Lord, help me respond to what's really going on in this moment instead of acting on what my feelings are telling me. Then choose to respond to what's actually happening instead of what you're afraid might happen. For more tips on healing old hurts, see Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, brace for impact. We're talking about those times when we give in to worry about the future and sort of put ourselves in this place where we're constantly bracing for impact, constantly worried about what's going to happen and how can I deal with it and what do I do? And you look, we all run into that. We all fall into that trap. The good news is there are grace-filled ways to respond to all of those situations and ways to have a healthy sense of hope that leads to real courage and confidence, whatever occurs. So let's talk about how to claim that sense today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us your questions via email. That's questions@moretoliferadio.com.
We do have a question that came in from Bethany, who's listening in Tennessee. She said, my six-year-old has been struggling with a lot of anxiety since school started. He wakes up every single morning and begs me not to make him go. I try to encourage him and tell him everything is going to be okay, but it just bounces right off of him. I want to be there for him, but he gets so wound up that I end up yelling at him to try to snap him out of it. I hate that, but I just don't know what else to do. How can I help him stop being so worried every morning?
All right, Bethany, thank you so much for the question. And there's a lot you can do. We're going to offer some kind of first aid suggestions here and then also some resources to follow up in case those aren't quite cutting it. So the temptation for parents, or really for anybody, when we're working with somebody who's anxious, is to be a cheerleader, is to say, it's going to be fine. What are you worried about? It's all going to be great. You're a great kid. Tell ourselves, you know, it's going to be fine. It's going to be awesome. You know, and then we hear in the back of our heads the voice that says, yeah, right. You know, anytime we adopt that cheerleader perspective, the other person basically does that same thing. Yeah, right. They just think we don't get it.
Yeah, and in fact, in a 6-year-old child, they'll hold on even tighter because they want to not feel that way. But if they don't feel like you get it, they feel like they have to own it more so that you will eventually get it.
And a 6-year-old is not mentally developed to the point where they can consistently connect actions and consequences. So they struggle to know what they can do to address the anxiety. They just know, I feel this way.
Right.
I don't have enough of a sense of self-efficacy to know that if I take these steps, I can feel better. So a big part of your intervention is going to have to be helping him identify what are those things that he's anxious about and what are some steps that he could take to address it. So there are a couple of ways to do this, okay? And since the anxiety has gotten so bad that he's waking up every morning and really spinning out, you want to start the night before. In fact, I would say that you want to do a couple of things. I would call this more of a wraparound technique,
yeah,
because this is not just addressing the actual situation. You're creating a structure that allows you to set the stage before, that allows you to manage it during, and then process it after. Right. So the first step, the before part, when he comes home from school, make sure you're taking some time to have like a collection ritual of some sort. He comes home. I mean, this is just an example. You do what works for you. But he comes home. Maybe he has a snack. You sit with him for a little bit. Maybe you can even sit with him on your lap, you know, and you're asking, so talk to me about the day. What was the best part of the day? What was the hardest part of the day?
Yeah, not just how was school, because
yeah,
that's too ambiguous. You don't want to, like, flood him and just make him say, it was terrible or it was fine. It's too much. So you want to talk about the best parts, the challenging part, you know, what happened in this particular thing, especially if it was something that maybe he expressed concerns about, you know, prior to this.
And the physical connection, whether he's sitting on your lap or next to you, or you know, having that physical connection helps your body download your heart rate and respiration rate and body temperature into his body so that you can more effectively help him calm down. So what you want, that's what you really want to focus on that piece first, processing his stress when he comes home. If there are any challenges that he's facing, the next thing you want to do is try to look at what are some things that need to be done to handle, that he could do better to handle the situation. Right. Mm-hmm. So the process here is you empathize and then redirect toward solutions.
But when you're redirecting to the solutions, you're not just telling him what to do. You're helping work through with him, because it's his experience. He is the one who has to do it, how to handle things differently.
So this kid was mean to you. Okay, well, that's awful. I'm so sorry that happened to you. If that were to happen again, what's one small thing that you think you could do differently? Let's figure this out. And then you can even role play it. Once you've identified some difference, it's important to role play it, not just to even have him think through it, but actually have him practice. What should he say? What are the words that he should use? What's the tone of voice he should, what's the posture he should stand? To actually have him mentally and physically rehearse the situation, whatever your solutions might be.
Yeah, so the physically is going to be so important, because we all learn by practice. Just telling ourselves, the minute we get under stress, it goes out the window. And certainly if somebody just tells us to do it and it didn't even originate in our own brains, it goes right out the window. So practicing, first going through with him and letting him try to come up with ideas on his own. If you have to suggest some, you check with him and see if he thinks those will work. But then you're practicing with him. Okay, this is the person who was unkind to you. This is how you're going to handle it differently. Like Greg said, even to this way he's going to stand. And practice that a couple of times at least, even if it feels a little funny to each one of you, because that's going to give him the muscle memory to say, I've done this, I know I can do this, I just have to do it now.
Okay, so the second part of processing before bed, remembering these things you talked about when he first came home from school. And saying, okay, you know, remember you told me, you know, that here were the things that you were concerned about, and we talked about what you're going to do, and maybe you want to role play it again. And then pray together. Lord, you know, help him to have the grace and the courage to do the things that we talked about. Yeah. And help him to know that you're giving him the grace to handle everything, and that I'm here and that I love him and that we can work through anything that comes up. But you're bringing that to God. You're rehearsing the scenarios that he's most concerned about. You're having him imagine. In fact, this would be the next step after the prayer part, is have him imagine doing those things the next day. Okay, I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine that thing happens that you were worried about, and how do you handle it the way we talked about? And you see it in your head, and now how do you feel about that? Okay, now let's ask the Lord to help us really do that tomorrow. So you've got that in place. The next morning, first thing when he wakes up, assume that there's going to be some anxiety to handle. So now you're processing it in the situation. So you wake him up. You don't just say, hey, time to get up. You go in, you cuddle with him for a second. Yeah. Hey, buddy, come on in. All right. Now, you bring the day to God. Lord, please bless my son. Thank you for letting him have a good night's sleep. And please bless his day and help him to be able to do the things we've talked about. Then you remind him. Okay, well, what did we talk about? And let's imagine that might happen today. How would you handle this? And you have him actually mentally rehearse it just like that, okay? And then you do the same process when he comes home from school. So there's the before, there's the during, and then there's the after. It's that whole wraparound approach to helping him manage that anxiety more effectively. The point here is that the antidote to anxiety is not being positive. It's being proactive. It's identifying, what am I going to do about the concerns that I have, instead of just fretting and spinning out.
And that can be for whatever those concerns are. So we're assuming there's something that's making him uncomfortable at school based on your question. But if it's that he's, you know, worried about not seeing you again or just missing you, same idea. Going through that. What can we do about that when we're together? How can we make that time really special? Letting him come up with ideas, saying, okay, let's go through tomorrow's schedule and see when we're going to be together, what we're going to be doing together. So no matter what it is that's giving him anxiety about being at school, you're working through those steps once you've elicited what it is that's bothering him from him, letting him practice, reviewing it so that he knows what he's heading into, and you're empowering him to be able to deal with his anxiety. It goes much further to empower your child or anybody, ourselves, somebody we love, than it does to just empathize. Empathy is important, but empowering and practicing that empowerment goes much, much further.
Now, we talk about more suggestions for approaching anxiety in our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which really talks about how do we identify concerns and develop plans for addressing them instead of spinning out with anxiety. So that could be a great resource. It would be for you to read and take some tips to share with your son. If you find that these suggestions aren't enough and you want additional support, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor that can walk you through some additional steps for supporting your son and helping him develop that courage and confidence that he needs to succeed. Thank you so much for the question, Bethany. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Brace for Impact. As we talk about the tendency that we all have to sort of worry about the future and run all kinds of scenarios through our heads where we need to be ready for this bad thing or need to be worried about that bad thing. It's a constant temptation, but how do we manage all of that gracefully? 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us your questions via email at questions@moretoliferadio.com. As we head out to our break, time for our scripture of the day comes to us from Psalm 31, verse 24.
Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. You know, one of the things I love about this, though, it says to be strong, okay? But what it really leans into for me when I read it is, and let your heart take courage. It's not saying come up with courage on your own. Who do we take courage from? From God, from the Holy Spirit, by leaning into that prayer that we've been talking about. Lord, help me to know you're here. Help me to glorify you. Help me to be my best self. Help me to encourage others to be their best selves. Be with me as I walk through my concerns. It's not just, you know, screw up your own courage and put on your armor of God. Yes, but the armor of God is not just armor. It's leaning into God, taking your courage from him, not trying to pass some test you think he's putting you through.
That's right. And really, ultimately, remembering that not only does God have a plan, you play a part in the fulfillment of that plan. Yeah. Right? So it's not just you sitting around waiting for things to play out and hoping it works for the best. It's God has a plan, and he wants to use this and me to bring about his plan. So what's my part in this? And I have to discern that, and that's what really, that's how I find that strength and that courage, by, and that's what it really means to wait on the Lord, not to wait for the Lord to do whatever he's doing through this, but to wait for him and say, okay, Lord, what are my orders? Tell me how I can respond to this so that together we can bring your will out of this situation, whatever it is. 877-573-7825 as we head out to our break. Just want to let you know that we are taking your calls and here to help you stop bracing for impact and worrying about those next things coming around the corner. More to Life will continue helping you cultivate hope, courage, and confidence in the face of anxiety when we come back after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Brace for Impact, as we talk about our tendency to worry about the future and always be concerned about what's coming around the corner. If you or someone you care about is falling into that trap, we are here to help. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anne, who's listening in Houston right now.
Anne, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Well, as I told your screener, my little grandson, who's not quite 3.5, is autistic, a true case. He started to regress. He was in good shape until he was 2 and then started to regress, which is something that happens a lot. My son is acknowledging it at this point. My daughter-in-law isn't. And
when you're saying he is autistic, has he been diagnosed with autism?
Well, technically no, but if I gave you all the symptoms, he does not respond to his name. He does not answer questions. He does not ask questions. Okay. He, you know, has outbursts. It's pretty classic, let's put it that way.
Okay, I understand.
I was a special ed teacher.
Okay.
So I know. But yeah. My worry is, of course, for the future. He is not getting any help at this point. He has not gone through, an evaluation.
Can I ask, if your daughter-in-law hasn't acknowledged that the diagnosis, is she aware of the skill deficit? I mean, would she acknowledge these things that you're pointing to as issues?
I have not talked to her about it at this point. When they went to the pediatrician for a 3-year checkup, it was brushed aside. They filled out the form. I asked my son, are you being very honest? He said yes. But I understand a lot of pediatricians do not want to shock the parents. They don't want them to fall apart. And they basically just say, well, he'll catch up. And that's what they told. That's what they were told. And
Go ahead. I should probably get your question before I start giving advice. So what are you asking us for help with?
Yeah. My intense worry, I worry all the time, what about the future? Will he be able to, take care of himself? Will it get worse? Sometimes I think he's regressing. Sometimes I think he's plateauing. It's hard to know.
So what do you do with my worry? Yeah, okay, so are you asking kind of more about what to do with your anxiety or how to help them, both?
Well, kind of both. My son and I talk some about it. He has just at this point used the term. But if he tries to bring it up to his wife, she gets incredibly defensive and gets very upset. And I know it's because deep inside, I know she knows that something is wrong.
Okay, so here's the thing. I mean, and like you said, you're a special ed teacher. You have a lot of experience in this area. You can see those signs, and that early intervention is important. And so that you're right to be concerned. What I would suggest to you when you're talking about this with your son or with your daughter-in-law, instead of focusing on the label right now, I mean that may come, But you want to focus on the skills and the deficit and say, look, whatever we call this, clearly, you know, your son is struggling with certain things. How can we help him get there? It's not, you know, because kids don't just suddenly develop skills. Like this is a common parenting mistake. Like if I see a problem that my kid is having, the next step is to say, well, how can I help my child overcome this problem?
Yeah, for some reason, a lot of parents right now think that kids just developmentally get skills. And they forget they've spent, you know, months trying to teach them how to walk or use the restroom or whatever those things are. So even when we see, as you said, this kind of regression, if our focus is on how do we bring out these skills in a way that this child can interact with them and adopt them, then you've got a lot of power in this, Anne, because A, you are a teacher who knows what these skills are. You're able to play with him and interact with him in ways that can help him. You're able to make suggestions, at least through your son, about the kinds of things they can be doing at home to help him to be able to attach to these skills better. So that's going to be your first step, is working on how to get him the skills that he needs before any interventions are done. Because even after he's medically diagnosed, most of the stuff that he will be helped by is done in the home. It's just somebody else teaching us how to do it.
So, you know, and the using labels can often provoke a defensive response.
Absolutely. Right?
But if we're able to say, look, whatever we call this, and even if we think that he'll grow into it, there are things we could do to really help him get there. Have you guys tried this? Or could you do that? I mean, and as a special ed teacher, you've got a lot of tools in your box that you could give them that they could use whether they accept the diagnosis or not, right? Because it's just a way of helping my grandson, helping your son develop certain skills. Now, as they try to do those things, they might run into certain walls,
yeah,
which would then make it clear to everybody that there's additional support that's required. Right, but if you just kind of lead with the label, then what you end up actually delaying the help, because all you get is a lot of pushback and a lot of resistance and a lot of defensiveness. And instead of the parents actually just using the skills, they could use whatever label we want to put on this thing to help the child try to develop the skills, or at least evaluate the seriousness of the situation. We're delaying all that because we're arguing about a label.
Right.
So I would say, identify the things that your grandson needs to work on. Offer some suggestions based on your experience as a special education teacher.
Make sure that those things that you're suggesting are as encouraging and enjoyable as possible. So things they can do that are like games that he can practice skills with. Things that they can do to make his environment more palatable to him. So if it's a quieter environment or a less cluttered environment, creating a room where, you know, he can really have time to be with his parents in that room to work on some of those skills where he isn't distracted or overwhelmed. But it's all about creating sort of that home classroom that allows him to enjoy working on learning new things so that he can begin to grow and reverse a lot of that, you know, as you're saying, that pushback that he's had in his life where he hit a plateau and now he's going backwards. There are many things you can do. We have wonderful resources now for all sorts of games and interventions we can do right in the home, so make sure that you're taking a look at those. But 100% back off the word and the diagnosis at this point, because you don't just want to get into an argument with them about a diagnosis. You don't want your daughter-in-law digging her heels in more. And you certainly don't want them to start pushing you out of their lives because you're causing them to have more fear than resources.
So the anxiety that you're feeling is coming from you feeling like you can see the problem and you can see that, you know, things need to happen, and you're feeling powerless. So you're feeling stuck. But and obviously you're right to have concerns. But if you can focus on identifying the skills and offering some helpful suggestions and saying, you know, whatever this is, when I've seen kids struggle with this, that in my experience these kinds of things have been helpful, that gives them something to do right now that will either help or clarify that more help is needed. Yeah. So focus on that for right now. For Anne, for you, or for any other listener who is dealing with a child or family member with a disability of some sort, I really encourage you also to reach out to the National Catholic Partnership on Disability. Check out their website. They're a great organization for Catholic families to connect you with resources and provide the additional support that parents really need in dealing with these kinds of issues. But Anne, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you guys through all this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. We've been talking about bracing for impact. You know, how do we stop expecting the worst and catastrophizing all the time and instead face the future with real courage, confidence, and hope? And the takeaway here again is that hope is not that we hope in a specific outcome. I mean, that's what we want. We all want to control the outcome. But the more we try to do that, the more anxious we get because we know that we can't. But what we put our hope in is in God, not just to work stuff out, but we put hope in God knowing that he has a plan and that we have a part to play in it. And so hope means then saying, okay, God is going to give me the grace to respond, not just deal with whatever happens, but to respond well to what happens and make something good out of this thing that happens. Okay, Lord, teach me what to do about that. That's what hope in action really looks like. And that's how we stop bracing for impact and start facing the future with courage and confidence. And if you'd like to learn how to do that, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.